My name is Lee Lutz. I'm the winemaker and general manager for the winery businesses of Black Star Farms. Black Star Farms is not just a winery operation. We bill ourselves as an agricultural destination, with the main farm being in Sutton's Bay, where we have a 10-room bed and breakfast, and we have a stable operation for private horses, and we have an agricultural cafe that specializes in regional foods and wood-fired pizzas and things of that nature, kind of casual fare at times, but also some fabulous baked goods and things that are things that we're working with in the way of ingredients, you know, directly there on the farm. And then, of course, the tasting room operations and the wines that we produce, but also brandies that we distill. So we've got an awful lot that's going on, but I tend to manage and direct things for the winery and the distillery, and have a great team of people that work with me and that direct certain aspects of that. But we cater to everything in the beverage realm. So that's my title and my level of responsibility.
Michigan's wine industry the last two winters has been faced with rather harsh conditions, and that's the same story for this year as well. How has that impacted the vineyard at this point and what that meant for the start of this year's season?
Well, as is the case, I think with all vineyards around the state, we have multiple sites where we pull fruit. We are an organization that is set up with multiple growers that have ownership interest in the winery. And we have vineyard sites on both the Leelanau Peninsula and the Old Mission Peninsula. And so to some extent, it was site-specific in terms of the damage that was done from the winter cold that we suffered over the course of, you know, the depths of the winter, let's say, but also the variety. So if the variety was a little bit more cold tender and it was on a better site, it might have survived okay and had, you know, let's say maybe 50% of a crop, where if it was a more cold hardy variety but was on a lesser site, it may have actually had a smaller crop just because of the site that it was on and the cold damage that was done. So we had a pretty good mix where we were, you know, generally thinking we had somewhere between maybe a 40 and 60% crop until the start of the growing season. We refer to that more or less as just bud break and some of those initial growth stages. And then we suffered a frost on May 20th. And that frost really did an awful lot of extensive damage, again, on those lesser sites, to some extent on better sites, but probably reducing the crop that we did have by about half, where if we thought we had something between 40 and 70%, we are now down to somewhere between, you know, maybe 20 and 30 to 40%. So we were, again, going through the growing season thinking, well, at least we've got something out there and you know, the plants aren't completely fruitless. And then we dealt with this very freakish storm that we had in the middle of the summer and in the early part of last month, where we had massive hail damage rather extensively throughout the area. And again, depending on where the vineyard sat and was oriented on the peninsula, either on the Old Mission or the Leelanau Peninsula, there were some vineyards that were almost entirely wiped out by the hail and other vineyards that seemingly did okay. Again, to some extent, it was dependent upon the site, how the vineyards were planted. And these are minuscule things, but vines that were planted east-west fared considerably better than vines that were planted north-south, which tends to be how we plant, depending again on the site and how it's I'm sorry, the terrain itself is is oriented. The east-west vineyards, because the storm system came in from the west, those east-west vineyards seem to fare considerably better and weren't as impacted by the hail. So we had some vineyards that did okay through that, and others that didn't survive much at all. In fact, one of our better Chardonnay vineyard sites that is key to one of our primary wines, our Surly Chardonnay, just took an absolute blasting. I've never seen hail damage like this before, where it looks like somebody went through the vineyard, you know, in a horror movie or something with a shotgun and just completely blew these vines to smithereens. Cane damage, fruit damage, leaf damage, just obliterated the vines. So we've had kind of a 1-2-3 punch, and if you count last year as well, it's been almost a 4-punch series of blows to our systems, and everybody in the grape industry up here is feeling rather browbeat these days. And if you're not one who tends to think that there's much going on with climate change or weather changes, then you need to talk to a grape grower in northern Michigan, because most everybody in the industry up here will tell you that there's definitely been some freakish weather these last few years.
With so many impacts to the crop, was rain or disease issues on top of that as well this growing season?
You know, early on, it appeared that we were going to have ourselves another fairly cool growing season. We had a relatively normal bud break, and once we got through that frost, things started to grow a little bit late, but at least relatively normally. And then early in July, boy, the heat turned up and things started to dry out really well. We actually had a fairly dry July and early part of August, a little bit of intermittent rain here and there, but it was, for the most part, a good, sunny, warm start to the season. And if nothing else, it lifted everybody's spirits, because it gave us the hope that perhaps there was a chance for the fruit that we had out there to actually get it to ripen. And for the most part, it's held that way. We went through a cool spell here last week, and that, of course, had everybody thinking that, you know, here comes the end of summer and the start of fall, and now we're back into 70s and 80s again here these last few days. I know it's going to cool down a little bit this weekend, but I think they're talking about it getting back up into the 70s after that. So we're yet hopeful. I was out in vineyards yesterday and was looking at fruit that I think is certainly going to be ripe enough for us to do something with, and be able to make some wines from. So, you know, it's not a total loss, but it's certainly not the kind of crop and or the kind of conditions that lead to long-term sustainability for the grower and or the winery.
With such a complicated and challenging year, when it comes to harvest, what is that process like to decide what vineyards to actually harvest and what that actually could look like?
Well, we try to make those decisions relatively early in the season, or earlier than actually, you know, getting right to the harvest time. If in the case of this hail damage, we've had fruit that was so beat up and the vines that were really so beat up, rather than stressing the vines by letting fruit hang later in the year, we will look at picking that fruit early and really spraying the vines more for their general health rather than the maturity of the fruit and the development of the fruit. Some of these vines, like I said, were just so beat up by the hail that they're stressed enough as it is. We're really more concerned about keeping the vines alive than worrying about harvesting fruit from them. In other situations, other conditions, we have a decent small crop that will mean that the fruit that's there, as long as we, you know, maintain some of this moderate weather and we have adequate sunshine, will likely ripen at a time early enough that we can pick it while the plant still has plenty of green leaves on it, and you know, we'll be able to build up a little bit of an energy reserve going into the winter. One of the hardest things on grapevines is that oftentimes we have to let fruit hang until the leaves actually fall from a frost or something along that line before it gets picked for a multitude of reasons. And that can be very stressful on the vine, in that it's trying to maintain the energy going into the fruit, the ripening of the fruit, and doesn't really put anything at all into the rootstock or the root system as a reserve for the winter. It makes it stressful for them to get through the winter and then really start to grow again next spring with the kind of vigor that we like to see. So it's it's probably going to be a relatively moderate to small harvest period, with some growers just saying, look, it's not even worth it for me to maintain the maintenance that's necessary to try and ripen my fruit. I'm just worried about keeping my vines alive and trying to give them a chance through next year. And I'm either going to drop my fruit or I'm going to try and harvest it very early and put that fruit to use in something else. And then think now about next season.
For that outlook on harvest, Lee, what's the expected timeline to make some of those decisions?
Well, usually, we've got a pretty good timeline in terms of when things normally start around here. And it tends to begin towards the latter part of this month here in September for the early wine types like sparkling wine and or some of the early ripening white varieties. Pinot Gris can be a variety that ripens on the early side. Some of the white hybrids can be harvested late in September. A couple of the red hybrids, some of the new varieties that are coming out of Minnesota and some of the other breeding programs that are more winter hardy and have a shorter growing season, can be picked towards the latter part of this month. So there may be a little bit of that really gets started more than likely the latter part of next week or early the following week. But really things will start to really come together in October, where we'll start to see some of these things finally either get to the point where we figure we have to take them because time is starting to become an issue, or they're really developing nicely, and you start to weigh out the balance points of the vulnerability of the fruit to things like mold and mildew and rot, or animal pressure, where the deer and the turkeys and the squirrels and everybody else that, or every other creature that needs to build up a reserve for the winter starts going after the fruit because there isn't much left otherwise, including the birds. The migratory flocks of birds coming through this area can devastate a vineyard. So you get to a point where you just decide to take it because everything's lining up that this is really the best time to do it. And I'm sure it'll be a little bit later this year, but because there's not as much fruit out there, we'll be able to take things really when they're ready and take them quickly and then have our best chance at making the best wines possible.
With a reduced expected production, Lee, does that mean you'll be sourcing in other areas or will there just be less wine available?
Well, we will be sourcing some fruit from outside the area. Some of our grape growing states that have larger production this year, primarily on the West Coast, to some extent in other areas around the country. I know that other wineries are finding fruit sources in various other places, but we're looking at some associations we have out on the West Coast in Oregon and in Washington State, merely as a supplement to help us get through these next couple of years. And make sure that we maintain the wines that people know us for and love us for, and it's not something that we're interested in hiding or keeping from them. We'll definitely let them know that this is fruit that we've had to bring in. But what we typically try to do is blend in some of our own fruit or blend in some of the out-of-state fruit just to stretch our own fruit and maintain a style that people expect when they buy a Black Star Farms wine, that our late harvest Riesling still tastes the way that they'd expect our late harvest Riesling to taste, and that our Pinot Noir still drink the way that they'd expect our Pinot Noirs to drink, and that it's not something that's an obvious shift in the profile of the wines. And that's obviously a challenge for us as the winemakers, but is at least something that allows us to maintain some volume and keep our customers and our customers in other places as we ship wines out through distributors and things of that nature, and at least keeps them in touch with us as a Michigan winery, Michigan producer, and even if we have to supplement a little bit in these more trying times.
Lee, we appreciate today's update. Any other comments to leave us with?
Well, my general comment when I'm asked questions like this about the growing season and what we're dealing with as grape growers is that this is, you know, what we're dealing with now is just part of the challenge of being a grape grower and a winemaker in a region like this. You know, Michigan has so much agricultural diversity and has so much to offer in so many ways, and yet Mother Nature in a climate like this can be extreme and oftentimes cruel. And you know, for those of us that are committed to being here and staying here, you have to have thick skin, and you have to have the ability to be resourceful and bounce back you know, persevere through challenges like this. And we're certainly doing that. So for everybody out there that supports Michigan Wines, we appreciate it. We appreciate their continued interest in what it is that we do, and we look forward to being able to offer them Michigan wines now, Michigan wines in the future, and to help them appreciate what it is that we're dealing with as winemakers.